People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
Last year, we interviewed Carol Galante when she was president and CEO of Bridge Housing, the largest nonprofit developer of affordable housing in California. And then earlier this year, Carol was appointed by President Obama to run the multifamily programs at HUD, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, reporting directly to HUD Secretary Sean Donovan. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and on this episode of the Affordable Housing Podcast, we are delighted to welcome back a former executive director of Eden Housing, now a national leader in affordable housing, Deputy Assistant Secretary of HUD, Carol Galante. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you.
Carol, tell us about the work that HUD does in multifamily housing.
We do a variety of important work in multifamily housing, much of which is under the particular division that I am in charge of, but not all of it. The first thing that we do is we provide insurance, or essentially financing, for rental housing through the FHA, Federal Housing Administration program. So we, finance, close to $5 billion a year of multifamily rental housing. We also have development grants, which organizations like Eden are very familiar with, the HUD 202 and 811 program for seniors and folks with disabilities is a program that we run. And then, of course, HUD is also involved in grants to localities that help the development of rental housing. And the last two things I would mention are subsidies for renters, low-income renters who can't afford market-rate rent. So the Section 8 program, both the individual voucher program as well as project-based Section 8, is a major activity of HUD. And then, of course, the last item is the traditional public housing for people who cannot afford market-rate rent.
For some time, we've heard about home ownership as being the priority for housing policy. Is there a shift going on to create a national housing policy focused more on affordable rental housing?
Yes, there is. I want to be clear that this administration certainly supports home ownership and home ownership for, trying to help people afford home ownership. But we do believe that, a third of the nation's population are renters. Some of them are renters by choice. Some of them are renters by necessity. But that's a growing population, and one that's very important and needs to be served, particularly in this environment where people have been foreclosed on their homes, or many people have, frankly, gotten into homes that they can't afford. We need to have good rental housing alternatives.
I know that the preservation of housing is also becoming an increasing priority. Can you give us an overview of the administration's priorities, both for preservation and for the creation of multifamily housing?
Yes, well, preservation, I would say, is the number one priority, and that's for two reasons. We have here at HUD assisted millions of units, over 1.5 million just within the division that I'm responsible for, and those developments were financed, many of them, 40 years ago, and so their affordability restrictions are coming to an end, their mortgages are coming to an end, and we need to assure that we can keep those apartments in the stock of housing that is available to lower income families. So we're doing a number of things. Some of them, frankly, are administrative items that we can do that will help owners decide they want to stay with the program, and really having a better partnership attitude with the owners who own and operate these properties is frankly the most important thing we can do in terms of preservation. And then, secondly, we're working very closely with Congress, Congressman Barney Frank, on a major preservation bill that will have a number of incentives in it to help these properties stay in the affordable housing stock, or ensure that when they get sold to, you know, again, organizations like in Eden who want to keep them affordable over the long term and will help bring additional resources to make that happen. And then the last thing I would say is we're very focused as an administration on greening the existing portfolio of HUD-assisted housing and providing resources to help owners make that happen. You know, I don't want to suggest that preservation is the only priority, because we certainly know that in many locations we have a need to create new housing, both through new construction and through acquisition and rehab, and creating affordability restrictions on existing housing is something that we think, you know, has a lot of importance. And frankly, you know, all the programs I mentioned early on are resources to make that new creation of housing possible, along with other major resources like the low-income housing tax credit.
Right. So many affordable housing developers like Eden use HUD programs and have recently started using them with the low-income housing tax credit program. Can you talk about your efforts to make the HUD programs mesh with the tax credit program?
Yes, this is absolutely, knowing my background, this is absolutely a top priority for me here. And frankly, it is for Secretary Donovan. And, you know, he has, you know, asked me to be, you know, the primary point person between HUD and Treasury, which runs the low-income housing tax credit program, to essentially inform the tax credit program with a housing policy vision. And so meshing our programs together is something that's critically important. So we've done a couple of things already, and there's more to do. But one example is traditionally HUD required as part of a HUD financing that if you were using tax credits, you needed to put in all of the tax credit equity in up front or in some kind of escrow. And those of us who have done tax credit projects over the years know that that just is not the traditional way it's done. And so HUD has changed our policy on that and no longer requires that. And that was a notice that we did early in the administration. And there are a number of other things like that. There's a whole process called subsidy layering review where when you're using multiple sources of federal money, you have to look at whether you're quote-unquote over-subsidizing a project. And we have streamlined for low-income housing tax credit purposes that whole process, and frankly eliminated steps that borrowers need to go through on that. Now there's more that we're doing, and you'll be hearing about that probably in a couple of months.
I'm speaking with Carol Galante, who is Deputy Assistant Secretary of HUD. Carol, when it comes to creating multifamily housing, the tax credit program is a significant force. In the past year, with all the economic downturn and the changes in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, we've seen a big reduction in the amount of tax credit equity in the market, something like, what, from $9 billion down to $4 billion.
Right.
Yeah. So in markets like California, the tax credit's an important tool for the creation of affordable apartments. Can you offer any insight into HUD's and the administration's thoughts on what might be done to improve the investor market for the credit?
Sure, I can. I will say this. This is a tough situation. You know, the administration has done a lot to help support and back up the low-income housing tax credit market over this past year through the ARRA funding. That's the American Recovery Act. Both two programs, which your audience, I'm sure, is familiar with, TCAP through HUD and the exchange program through Treasury, that pumped essentially $4 to $5 billion into the tax credit market in 2009, essentially substituting for the fact that there was not a robust class of investors able to pay the kinds of prices that we had seen in the past. And so really that has been a transition period to where we are today. And the fact is that this recovery dollars, not just for tax credit program, but in general, you know, has helped the economy, and the economy is doing better, and the tax credit market is starting to come back. Now, it's not back to where it was before the crisis, and frankly, I think most observers, myself included, don't think it will ever get back in terms of the pricing that we saw, you know, prior to 2007. So, this year, this year coming up for the tax credit program, it's going to be a very, very heavy lift to get additional substantial resources thrown at this program. We've really got to, ensure that the market comes back in a way, essentially through, you know, creativity of people and bringing in new investor folks to the market. It's you know, the federal government can't essentially save this save it forever. You know, the market has to start to work again. That's a long-winded introduction to saying I think we will see some activity, and you know, maybe a continued exchange program for another year, and I'm just crystal balling this, but it's going to be a heavy lift to make major new resources available to the program.
And at the same time, I would think many communities may not need the low-income housing tax credit because they have a lot of surplus stock due to foreclosures.
Well, there is surplus stock. You know, converting that surplus stock through, you know, from foreclosures into longer-term affordable rental housing or affordable home ownership housing is certainly something that needs to occur. And you know, the neighborhood stabilization program through HUD is certainly there to help communities overcome that problem. And it's a little early to say, you know, whether that's doing enough and how well that's working, but that certainly is a resource for communities that I think, you know, can be benefited from.
Carol, I'm wondering if all of your experience in working with HUD from the other side of the table has given you valuable insight into how to improve the way that the department works with developers and owners of HUD-financed housing.
Absolutely, it has. In fact, it's actually become a little bit of a joke with my staff here. They're tired of me starting every conversation with, "Well, when I was on the other side of HUD, this is what got in the way." And I will say that the biggest experience that it's brought is an understanding and helping folks in the department understand that HUD really, really needs to be a better partner. That yes, we have a regulatory and oversight role, but that we need to understand the needs of the owners and developers when we're providing resources. And I think that message is coming across loud and clear, both from me and from Secretary Donovan, who also, you know, through running the largest state housing agency, you know, also was on the other side of HUD, and so, you know, understands from the governmental perspective the importance of that kind of partnership attitude. And really, that is infusing all the decisions we're making around program changes, asset management changes, and production program changes.
It can only be a good thing.
Yes, so, exactly.
Senator Dodd sponsored legislation that would support a new program to create a nexus between housing, transportation, and energy. Can you talk about HUD's role in encouraging communities to create more transit-oriented housing?
Sure. Well, you know, through my work in California, that transit-oriented housing is something that, you know, makes a lot of, I think, makes a lot of sense, and the administration certainly agrees. And there is a one of the, you know, president's big objectives and goals is to ensure that, you know, we have sustainable communities and that we're promoting sustainable communities. So, you know, here at HUD, we have in our fiscal 10 budget request to Congress a program called Sustainable Communities. It's a $250 million program that essentially would work with local governments and regions to make sure that they have the resources to plan for transit-oriented housing and higher-density housing, and making sure they're taking into consideration in their land use planning where it's appropriate to build at higher densities, obviously transit-oriented being one of those places. And then, you know, this is an opportunity for me to say, not just on transit-oriented housing or on quote-unquote sustainable communities, but across the board, there is a large effort here to work across silos, for lack of a better term, amongst the different federal agencies. So working with sustainable communities is also part of a joint effort we have with Department of Transportation and EPA. We have regular working groups on how we can align our all of our agency funding, not just, you know, what HUD can do.
There are some new programs on the horizon, like I'm thinking of the National Housing Trust Fund, which could generate something like $1 billion for the production of low-income housing. Any idea how much of that money, if it comes to fruition, might come to California?
You know, I don't know how much would come to California. I think they're still working on the formulas for, you know, how the trust fund dollars would be distributed. I can say that just in this past, you know, 2 weeks, the trust fund has moved closer to getting funded. And, you know, the big issue here is that initially when the trust fund legislation was created, it was to be funded with profits from Fannie and Freddie. And obviously that didn't materialize. So it has been a big priority of the president and of the secretary to work with Congress to find the appropriate budget resources to fund the trust fund. So that in and of itself is you know, is a very big deal, and I think we you know, we're all keeping our fingers crossed that we will see that funded this year.
And are there any other new programs that you're working on, or anything that you're particularly excited about, optimistic about in your work?
Well, the one thing I would mention that we haven't talked about yet is a very exciting program called Choice Neighborhoods. And it is a program, again, in our Fiscal 10 HUD budget that would take the lessons learned and the successes of the HOPE 6 program, which was specifically for redeveloping public housing developments, and enable through the Choice Neighborhoods program for a similar approach to both public housing and this HUD-assisted stock that I mentioned earlier, and also take a more holistic neighborhood approach. So not just looking at the specific project, but looking at bringing resources to an entire neighborhood. So I'm very excited about that program, and you know, we've been working hard on and talking to stakeholders about framing the policies for that program for the next year.
Carol, I want to thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. I know you're incredibly busy, and we really appreciate this.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Carol Galante is Deputy Assistant Secretary of HUD. For the Affordable Housing Podcast, I'm Joanne Green. And for more information, go to edenhousing.org.
smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.